This is the Sun Radio Regional Report. I'm Kevin Connor. We touch on topics of interest and importance to people here in Central Texas. And if you're hearing this on Sun Radio early on Saturday morning, you may have heard this week that we are going to be participating in the HEB Austin Community Market today at the Miller HEB over on East 51st Street. Come by, say hi, support the Sun Radio Foundation. And I was looking at the list of the other people participating in the community market, and I saw Texas State Parks, and I thought, wow, I haven't talked to anybody from the Texas State Park System yet on this program. And I started looking at their website, and boy, they got a whole lot of information on that website. And this is the centennial celebration for the Texas State Parks, so let's find out more. On the line is Thomas Wilhelm. He's the marketing manager for the State Parks of Texas, Texas Parks and Wildlife. Good, congratulations, first of all, your 100th birthday.
That's right. We're celebrating 100 years of Texas State Parks this year. The State Park Board was founded in 1923, so we are excited to be celebrating 100 years of Texas State Parks.
I had never heard of what's considered the first state park, Mother Neff State Park, I think it is.
So Mother Neff sometimes gets called the first state park. Governor Neff founded the state park system in 1923, and his mom was one of the first people to heed his call of donating land to a state park system. So she was one of the first to offer up some land there in Leon County, kind of not far from Waco. And that became Mother Neff State Park.
It's actually in Moody, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
And with so many Moody's now, the Moody Amphitheater, the Moody Center, ACL Live at the Moody, it's good that there is a Moody, Texas, so that we don't become that. There's a huge park system, of course, that has built up over the last 100 years. And of course, for a lot of families, as they get into spring break, which starts on Friday the 10th, going to a park, if the weather conditions are favorable, is a fun thing to do. I noticed that the number one, as far as attendance, Garner State Park, down on the Frio River, also very well attended, is McKinney Falls State Park, right here in Austin. And Enchanted Rock, I think, is in the top five as well. I know Enchanted Rock has had challenges with overpopulation. How can somebody plan a trip to a state park and not show up and find out, oh, sorry, we're full?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. So those very popular parks like Enchanted Rock, and really any park that's near a major city, so McKinney Falls near Austin, Cedar Hill near Dallas, those parks do get very popular and very busy during holidays, during spring break, even just weekends in general in the spring and fall. So your best recommendation is going to be to make a day use reservation. Just like people can make an overnight reservation for a camping stay, people can make a day use reservation. They just go on our website and select day use for that park. Some parks have time slots, like Enchanted Rock has time slots of what time you're going to arrive. Some parks just have for the day. That time slot, if you're, say, reserving for the day at Enchanted Rock, that's your arrival window. That's not the window that you're allowed in the park. It's just the time that you arrive, and you can be there as long as you want to be for that day. But you make that reservation, and basically at that point, you're guaranteed that you're going to get into the park, as long as something crazy doesn't happen and the park doesn't close for weather or some other unforeseen circumstance. That's guaranteeing that you're going to get in for the day. We don't charge any extra fees for that. Basically, all you're doing is you're paying your entrance fee in advance, and that is guaranteeing that you get in. And if you happen to have a state park pass, you're not paying anything. You're making that reservation, and there's no money out of pocket to make that reservation.
So Garner, McKinney Falls, Enchanted Rock, some of the ones that people are naturally gravitated towards. Are there some undiscovered gems in the park system where you might just say, gee, I wonder why nobody comes to this park, because it's great?
Yeah, you know, there's definitely some parks that are a little less popular, although I would say that our days of undiscovered or hidden gems is kind of past us. There's very few parks now that are flying under the radar. You mentioned Mother Neff. That's actually a pretty good one that you know, is not far from several major cities, and it might be a little less known. If you head out towards East Texas, there's some good options. Dangerfield, Mission Tejas, those are some good options that might be a little less busy. as far as like near central Texas, Buescher out towards Smithville might have some availability. It's not terribly far. It's part of our the Lost Pines complex of Bastrop and Buescher. Bastrop a little bit more busy than Buescher, but so you may have some opportunities there. But you know, central Texas is our parks have been well discovered. There's not a lot of secrets left around the area. Blanco's a pretty small park, but it's a good opportunity. That's a great first-timer park. If you're looking to get out to a state park, maybe you've never been to a state park before, Blanco is a great option. It's almost like a city park. It's right in the heart of the town. It's got good water access if you want to swim or play, and it's a pretty small park with some easy activities. So that could be a good option, too.
We're talking with Thomas Wilhelm with the Texas State Parks, celebrating the centennial of the Texas State Park System, started in 1923. I know right from the get-go, from the first day, you had huge crowds for first-day hikes in almost all the state parks. What are some of the other big things that are happening this year for the centennial?
Yeah, we're very excited about celebrating 100 years, and you're right. Our first-day hikes, which we've been doing for a long time. This was a record-breaking year for us. I think all the states have a little bit of a competition. I think Texas actually won this year for number of attendees to first day hikes. So that was a great kickoff to the start of the year. So what we are doing is every state park is hosting what we're calling a 100-year event. It'll be happening throughout the year. So it's not, you know, every park on one weekend. We've scheduled it so you can find an event almost any weekend of the year and head out. We've had 7 of those already this far into the year, and we've got I think 11 more occurring in March. One coming up at Sea Lake Livingston on the 18th of March, San Angelo also on the 18th, Lake Whitney, Balmoray. A lot of good options out there. Our 100-year website has all of those 100-year events listed, texasstateparks.org/100-years. That is where you'll find all of our 100-year events just in order of what's happening next. And you can also see our other, our full calendar of events for everything going on in state parks.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff. I looked at the calendar on your main website. Boy, just this current weekend alone, just tons of stuff going on, covering the whole state, of course.
It's pretty interesting. When you look at the calendar, you can either search for it by park if you know where you want to go and see what's going on, or you can also search by activity. So if you're looking for a paddling event or a cooking event or stargazing or whatever it may be, you can see what opportunities are happening across the state and when, and you know, plan your trip to get involved with those sort of activities.
And you also can go to the website to find out about, you know, regulations for hunting and fishing and boating and everything. And the parks are funded in part by sales tax on sporting goods here in Texas, right?
Recently in I think it was 2019, voters voted to establish that state parks would be funded via dedicated the sales tax essentially on sporting goods. So when you buy a basketball, the sales tax that you pay, it's not an extra tax, it's just the sales tax on that item is then dedicated to Texas State Parks. So that is how state parks are funded, in addition to things like entrance fees, facility fees, that sort of thing.
This gives the park system the opportunity to give grants to other organizations. I saw that just this week, you announced, what, $2.8 million in grants?
So our local park grants program, that's part of the State Parks Division of Parks and Wildlife, we grant money. We manage a variety of funds and then grant those funds out to local parks for a variety of things. I think this year is a record-breaking year in the amount of funds that were granted. So we have our basically a co-op grants to help support parks and conservation and whatnot across the state.
I read $27 million in 27 years of grants. That's most impressive.
That sounds right. I think so. Yeah, it says, looks like this year we 55 new partnerships that are grant funded. So pretty exciting stuff.
Well, Thomas, there's all kinds of good stuff to talk about with the state parks. What are the biggest challenges right now facing the state parks here in Texas?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, there's a lot of love for state parks. We already talked about how parks can get really busy, and I think our biggest challenge is there's just not enough capacity, not enough supply to meet demand. We constantly hear from customers who feel that they can't get a campsite because they're booked up so early, or they can't get into their favorite park at the time they want to get into it. And so that's our biggest challenge, is just meeting the demand. Texas is growing so quickly in population, and so we are just, you know, that dedicated funding that we mentioned earlier, that didn't happen for until very recently, that we had reliable and consistent funding. And so prior to that, it's very difficult to build out a state park system and meet demand. So we are definitely playing a game of catch up, and we're doing what we can to get new parks online. But as you can imagine, building a new state park doesn't happen overnight. We're excited to be opening our first new state park in over 2 decades, with Palo Pinto Mountains later this year, out in Strawn, Texas, between Abilene and Fort Worth. So we're very excited that we'll be adding a park to our inventory. But it's a drop in the bucket for demand, right? As soon as that park opens, it's going to be full. People are going to be there's still not going to be enough to meet the demand. So that is our biggest challenge, just getting parks up and growing our inventory to meet that customer demand.
Well, it's not very different from the national park system. We always hear about some parks just getting loved to death.
Yeah, that is absolutely true, and we've struggled with that love to death scenario for a while, and that's why some of our parks, like Enchanted Rock and others, do have those capacity limits that we have to enact, because it's not only to protect the natural and cultural resource of the park, but it's also to protect the park experience for the visitor. Right? People don't. There is an image in their mind when they go to a park of what that experience is going to be, and it doesn't include people just everywhere crowded in. So there is a need for those capacity limits in place. And we strive to find that balance between capacity and really enabling as much recreation and access as we can. And it's something that we really work hard for. And most of our parks don't hit those capacity issues, but you will find, again, you know, on holidays and weekends at those super popular parks, that those capacity limits do come into play.
Are people respectful of the parks?
Yeah, in general, we love our visitors. I think they respect what we do, and they are in large part great park visitors. Honestly, our biggest like educational issue with parks is, or with visitors, is making sure they're prepared for the day. You know, wearing the right clothes, bringing enough water, respecting their boundaries and heat. That's really the educational piece. We are intent at making our parks accessible to all Texans and all visitors, and so we want those people that have not been to state parks before to discover them, and we want them to have a great time. And so we are trying very hard to be what we call first timer friendly. So it's just making sure, you know, you've got the going to a park does not have to be complicated. You don't need a bunch of equipment like hiking sticks and special shoes and all of these things, but packing enough water, probably wearing sunscreen and a hat, those sort of things really make for a more comfortable visit.
It's not a theme park, folks. It's a real park. You got to be prepared. And for those who might enjoy experiencing the state parks of Texas in a nice air-conditioned museum, I saw that you have the Art of Texas State Parks. It's a traveling exhibit, but right now it's based at the Bob Bullock Museum, which is cool.
Yeah, this is kind of the first of its kind for Texas, where we, a couple years ago, essentially commissioned 30 Texas artists to go out and capture, make a visual catalog of the Texas State Park System. So each artist, I think, did two art pieces, and those pieces are traveling around to help celebrate our 100-year celebration. Currently, it is at the Bob Bullock. After the Bullock, it'll head to the Houston Museum of Natural Science and then to Panhandle Plains Museum there in Canyon, right outside of Amarillo. So I think it's at the Bullock through April, and then we'll move on. But it's a wonderful exhibit. If you're in the Austin area, I encourage you to go by the Bullock and check it out. Some variety of styles and artists, and really capturing the breadth and diversity of the state park system from all across the state.
Do you have a favorite?
So professionally, I'm not allowed to have a favorite state park, but there are some that I am big fan of. Palo Duro Canyon is an incredible place. It's the second largest canyon in the United States. it's kind of off the wall. Not a lot of people would say this, but Goliad State Park down towards Victoria. I really like that park. It's a really well-rounded park. It's got a historical component. It's got paddling trails. It's got some really nice hiking trails. So it makes for a really well-rounded park. So it really just depends on what you like to do.
I'm real partial to the park out in Fort Davis.
Yeah, Davis Mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. Davis Mountains is a special place. Actually, I got engaged at Davis Mountains. So it's a pretty magical place for sure.
Yeah. Cool. All right. And again, the website is real simple.
TexasStateParks.org.
There you go. And everything that you need to know about the different parks, what the regulations are, if you have to make reservations, and you know, things about hunting and fishing and boating and all of that stuff is all on their website. You do a great job. And you have your own TV show, too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, the Texas Parks and Wildlife TV show airs on PBS channels across the state. So, it's pretty unique. And we also have, of course, our magazine, too, Texas Parks and Wildlife magazine out there as well. So some great opportunities to enjoy parks, the rest of what the agency does, too.
Well, Thomas Wilhelm, thank you so much for your time. And again, congratulations. And the centennial celebration of the State Parks of Texas is happening all this year. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin.
And thank you for listening to this episode of the Sun Radio Regional Report. If you're hearing it on the radio on early Saturday morning, know that the Texas State Parks will be also participating in the event today at the HEB over the Miller area on East 51st Street. We'll be out there as well. And if you stop by their booth, they have guides to all the state parks and give you a little one-on-one advice about some of the parks, especially in this region. Might be a good way to get prepared for your spring break. Your thoughts on today's show and suggestions for topics for future episodes, always welcome. Studio at sunradio.com.